Welcome everyone to this live radio variety show. So blowing forth from the cosmic radio receptors of KCIW, LP 100.7 FM, located in lovely coastal Brookings, Oregon. My name is Dr. Gigi, and you are tuned into this week's edition of Doc and
Jacques. Hello, Jacques.
My co-host is Jacques Kepner. How are you, Jacques?
You say hello, Doctor. Gigi, how are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. Okay, you feeling somehow?
Great. I'm feeling fine. Uh-huh. I'm feeling finer than a
49er.
Defeated 49er. That's getting old. I'm feeling really good. Today's date is Wednesday, March 13th, 2024, and thanks for tuning into our radio show, which is a radio variety hour where every afternoon between 4 and 5, you can expect an informative, fun hour of live on-the-air acrobatics.
Right. We'll start each week's show with a medley of fascinating stats and facts blended with some medical info that can affect our health and or expand our knowledge base.
And after the good doctor dispenses her medical wisdom, we will introduce this week's guests with a S for a creatively composed, colorfully cosmopolitan, consequentially cordial, charming conversation with coastal community celebrities.
Yeah. We will save the last segment off our weekly show for some good humor.
Oh, good humor.
Clean, funny jokes.
Right,
and contemplative wise quotes. Oh, and yeah, that's all. And all of this is starting right now this Doc and Jacques show.
Yeah, we have a shout out to your Cuzzy Boo.
Yeah,
right?
Cuzzy Boo.
And Kelly and Victoria and all the people that are listening. And thank you so much. Chris and Sherry and Denise and Marshall, Missouri. People from all around the country and the world are tuning into this show primarily because of your incredibly intelligent talks about so many things that you do.
For sure.
Uniquely. So, okay, that's my cue to kick off this week's of Medical MD 2020, or is it 1010 today? It's about 10 minutes. Medical dialogue, according to my dear co-host, Dr. Gigi. What are we going to learn about today, Doctor?
Today we're going to learn about the skin, and probably it's part one. We might have part two to talk about skin diseases. So this is just the fun fact.
Skin, S-K-I-N.
S-K-I-N, skin, the outer part. The skin is our largest organ, weighing about 15% of our body weight.
Wait a minute. My brain is my largest.
Well, yeah, I mean outside. The largest inside. For your part.
The skin is, how much does it weigh?
15% of our body.
Wow. Well, my brain is about 50% of my body.
Whatever. Okay. There.
Okay.
There are two main layers to the skin. The outer is called epidermis. Epi meaning outer, dermis meaning skin.
Okay.
And that one is basically made out of different cell types. Now, this is one cool cell. I'll talk about the different cell types in a second. But there's one cell type that is really cool because it keeps on dividing and dividing and dividing and pushing out the divided cells over, out, and out, and out till those poor cells don't get any more blood supply, no nutrients. So they're going to die. So the outer cells, outer part of our skin is made up of dead skin cells, which gives us, and it's waterproof. Yeah, exactly. So it's waterproof and devoid of water. And so that is not very hospitable to most bacterial viruses.
Okay, you're talking about dead shedding skin and earwax last week or a few weeks ago. Very fascinating subjects, folks. Really wonderful. But I understand that up to 40% of all the dust in your home is what?
Made of dead
cells.
Skin cells, okay. Except for our house. So the dust mites, the dust is, house dust is dead skin cells, except for our house is mainly made out of dog hair.
Oh, yeah. Your dog, Ziva. Hey, Ziva. Hope you're listening. Ziva does shred a little bit.
She does. So the more inner layer is called the dermis, what we call skin. And that one is mostly made out of all the other stuff, collagen, sweat glands, nerve cell endings, and immune cells, pigment cells, and keratin-containing
cells. We have so many per square inch. We have hundreds of hair cells. Is that considered a hair? Is not a part.
So we have a single square inch of skin has 300 sweat glands.
Wow.
And 30 hairs. Ta-da!
Every inch.
Very cute, right? Now, I'm going to highlight the different parts of the dermis now.
That's the...
The epidermis, the less dead cell dermis.
The stuff that's alive pushing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the sweat glands are very important. We have a gazillion sweat glands. We have 300 sweat glands, as you asked, in a single square inch of skin.
Wow.
They're very important to keep our, to maintain our body heat. Now, in the cold, the blood vessels that are also there constrict and the sweat glands don't make any sweat and we look pale and we're not sweating, right? To maintain our heat into the skin, into our body. If we're hot, we sweat. That's our little personal air conditioner. And our blood vessels dilate so we can dissipate some heat.
Wow.
Very important. And we look flushed.
Flushed. So pale or flushed. I feel
pale or flushed.
When I first saw you, I was flushed.
You certainly were. And I was pale.
Oh, thank you. Oh, that's wonderful, Doctor. I remember that one. I will. I'll remember it. Okay. Payback.
So there are also immune cells in that skin layer. And that's really cool because they're called macrophages. What they go is they go around the skin, la, la, la. And when they see some invaders like bacteria, they eat them up. They engulf them. And then they take them to the immune system where they kill them or whatever they want to do. Now, we take advantage of that by making tattoos. So we're
making tattoos?
Yeah, tattoos. So we're pushing ink into that area and the macrophages come and say, yay, food.
What is the ink actually? It's not ink, is it?
Ink is ink.
I thought it was bruising. Are you talking about bruising?
I'm talking about tattoos.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I thought it was...
So tattoos, we're making tattoos by pushing ink into the skin layer, and then the macrophages see it, and they eat it because they're thinking they're invaders. So they gobble up all the ink, and then they're so full of ink that they can't go anywhere, and so they're kind of fossilized in place. And
wow.
So that's our tattoos. Pretty cool, right?
Sure.
Now, we also have melanocytes. They're actually in the epidermis. Melanocytes are cells that contain melanin. Melanin is our skin color. We can activate it with sun exposure.
Flushing, paling.
No, that's okay. Not the same.
It's affected by the sun.
Yeah, we can make more melanin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the interesting part is that we all the humans, have about the same amount of melanocytes per square inch in their skin, but darker-skinned people make more melanin and lighter-skinned people make less melanin.
Interesting.
Interesting, right?
Right.
Our skin renews itself every month or so. So that's our house dust. The thickest skin is found on our...
I know.
Yeah. Where?
Elbows.
Elbows are pretty good.
Your bottom of your feet, I'm sure.
Yes. Sole of the feet and the palms have an extra layer, stratum lucidum. But you are right. The elbows and knees and stuff, they have thicker skin. Not thicker, but the collagen and the calluses are built up to protect them of wear and tear because, you know, we elbow people.
Okay. What's the thinnest part?
Eyelids.
Eyelids are the thinnest part of your skin?
Yeah, thinnest part.
You have fat, thick eyelids.
I don't have fat.
You do. They're beautiful. You have beautiful eyelashes.
Okay. Now, let's talk the only...
I'm looking at your eyes.
Yeah, I know he is. The only disease part we're talking about today is melanoma, because when you go to the doctor and they say, can you look at my... And you say, can you look at my patch? Do you think it's melanoma? So this is what the provider does. He goes after he or she, I would be a she, the A, B, C, D, E of melanoma detection. A is asymmetry. Is that spot asymmetric? If it's not asymmetric, if it's symmetric, probably benign. Good.
So it has to have a rough edge, basically. Rough and different.
So that's the next spot. The next one is border irregularity. If it is rough or spiky, then that is not a good sign. If it's smooth, probably good. Color, if it's just one color, it's probably fine. We all have Nevi. We all have birthmarks or such, right?
Okay.
diameter, if it's more than 6 millimeters, which happens to be about the pencil eraser diameter, that's 6 millimeters. If it's larger than that, then you might want to be concerned a little bit. And then the E stands for evolving. If it's quickly evolving, growing in no time, then it's also a bad sign. So that's the A, B, C, D, E of detecting melanoma.
Is the skin of your tongue, is that considered skin? My tongue? No. That's an organ.
No, it's not.
What about my teeth? Skin of my teeth?
Well, no, it's not.
Why do they say skin of my teeth?
Well, you're the idiom person.
Okay. Now we know. Now
I
this
think
is going to be.
If you let your tongue hang out most of the day, that might be.
Yeah.
It's a muscle. You know?
That's true. I agree. Yeah. I agree. Hanging out constantly. Is that my cube now to take over here on this side? Okay. Well, thank you, doctor. We will have to return for our skin part two.
Yes, diseases and
because
such.
Diseases of the skin and whatnot. And I'll have to come up with some good little questions for you. So maybe next week it'll be part two of the skin. After all, it is our largest, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, folks. I had the wrong paper there. Today on Doc and Jacques, we'll be exploring the world of real estate with two seasoned brokers and agents. But before we dive into the particulars of homes, properties, and markets, I invite you to pause for a moment and reflect on the profoundly human elements inherent in this industry. At its core, real estate is far more than just bricks, mortar, and square footage. It is about the roofs over our heads and the spaces where we make our homes, where we store our hearts, and lay firm roots in serene coastal communities such as Brookings, Oregon. Like it or not, debate all you wish as to what defines manifest ownership and property rights as seen through the Western scope of things, a home goes deep into our primordial and fundamental need for shelter, security, and a sense of belonging. Historically, a home is a safe place. It is a sanctuary from the turbulence of the outside world. It is a place to rest, recharge, love, and recreate. Streets and neighborhoods become vital arteries, allowing society itself to develop, families to flourish, and communities to establish their own unique personalities and traditions. Real estate also intersects with major life transitions. Think about it. Marriage, kids, career moves, and yes, as many of us, including myself, retirement. With each change, there often comes a new search for spaces that better accommodate our shifting needs and priorities as we navigate life's roadways. Do not forget that real estate also forms the bedrock of the community itself. Downtown buildings, schools, hospitals, churches, restaurants, and even radio stations all exist because of the vision and effort of those working to erect a livable society. Lastly, while on today's Doc and Jacques, we will talk the, quote, business of real estate, let's not lose sight of the emotional elements that give this industry its human heartbeat. Whether it's the dream of owning your first home or settling into a final rest home, real estate shapes and often elevates our daily lives in so many vital ways. So, with that said, both Gigi and I are honored to introduce our new friends to this wonderful coastal area, community of Brookings. I want to introduce Brett and Marie Curtis. Hey, welcome.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Wow.
We need to borrow that.
Yes.
You want to borrow that?
Pitch on
we just
real
need
estate.
To borrow you. You just open up discussions at our meetings like this. That's beautiful.
Marie, you're returning. You've been
with
Michelle Buford,
about
4 or 5 weeks ago.
Chamber.
You
that
were
nice.
Hanging out with us.
That was a great interview.
Was that fun? Yeah, that was a fun.
It was
fun
a lot of fun.
And that's
you're here with your husband, Brett, today
for
real estate. Welcome, welcome.
That's
thank
you. KCIW, you could find it at kciw.org. You could go to our past shows, and you could hear all our listeners hear that show we had with Michelle and Mary.
Well, Marie, tell us, where did you grow up?
Well, basically, guys, it's that's hard to say because I grew up in a military family.
Uh-huh.
And I bounced around a lot and never really stayed put more than 2-3 years in any place. To be honest with you, I will have to call Oregon my home because it's the home that I've been in the longest.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Very good, cool. Brett. Yeah.
I grew up in a a very small town in southeast Iowa.
Oh, really?
Big wrestling state.
East
Iowa. Yeah, so below Iowa City. Quick story.
Yeah.
It's called Riverside, Iowa, and it's actually the birthplace of Captain James T. Kirk.
Ah!
At the Enterprise.
I mean, Shatner.
So, wow. So apparently in a very early episode when Star Trek was on television.
Yeah.
William Shatner says, I was born in Iowa, and the mayor of our town, then whatever he needed to do, took on the task of making them identify it as Riverside, Iowa. So later on, a couple years later, Captain Kirk actually says Riverside, Iowa.
Oh, my God.
And from there, it's history.
Oh, so it hasn't grown to a big old metropolitan.
It's a little celebrity town.
Yeah, we have an actual relic, or not a relic, but of a display of the USS Enterprise.
Oh, the downtown square.
Wow.
And it says, "Welcome to Riverside, where the trek begins."
Wow. And the river being...
Riverside is the town.
What river
runs through Riverside?
In a small community, right? It's like
no
what?
River.
No river.
A couple thousand.
Talking about Shallow Creek over there. Creek. You know, I have a home in Missouri, and I drive up through Iowa all the time, kissing neighbors. What's the best thing you like about Brookings, Brett?
I often say, and I tell people frequently, that Brookings seems to attract the best from other areas.
Yes,
it does.
I think a lot, yeah. When I say that, many people are like, oh, yeah, you know, I think you're right. There's some really good quality people in Brookings.
The community, I mean, the way that they pool together, it's just a lot of people will really support and uplift you here. It sounds like a little fairy tale, but it's true. I mean, we've met a lot of great people in this, and I would have to say that's the best part of living here is
personalities.
Do you remember the cartoon, the Smurfs?
Yeah, of course.
So I'll often say that you don't.
I'm way too young. I'm only 30.
Oh,
don't remember the Smurfs.
Yeah, that's well. Anyhow, the Smurfs, the little blue.
Yeah, I think
you got it. Okay, so Smurfville was an area that was protected.
Yeah.
Okay.
Much like Brookings, it was hard to get to it. Certainly felt like it was hard to leave. Same as here.
Oh, nice.
You know, the bad guy, whatever his name was, could never find it.
Oh, I never saw it.
Oh, you know.
I've watched cartoons, yeah.
So now, even though this is fantastic here, what do you wish we had here that we actually don't have here?
That would be easy. I mean, we probably need more specialized doctors here. Because, mm-hmm. You know, right now we have people going to heart doctors up in Portland and... You know, as well as up in Coos Bay as well. There's a specialized facility up there.
Yeah.
But so. Even getting, when you get your...
Colonoscopy?
When you get your...
I don't know.
Well,
dialysis.
Maybe.
Dialysis.
Yeah. Dialysis.
Okay. You can't even do
we
that.
We have that Crescent City.
You would know. I mean...
Yeah, there's a clinic right behind the Sutter Coast Clinic.
Do you have specialists down in Crescent City?
No.
No.
No. Oh, and we do have some.
So heart and brain and things like that.
But no, you have to think about this is a small community. So if you have a specialist, they need to have quite a few people to actually come there. So if you're talking about 8,000 people here, then how many people actually would need that specialist? Not enough to support them. So that's why you find them in larger cities.
Exactly.
But you're right. I mean, it would be nice to have
just that.
A lot of people say that. I think the medical is most probably the number one thing that they would say that they would.
Although I'll chime in on that. I know that any answer we give, any wish we have has consequences.
Okay, good.
But I'd love to have the temperature of that ocean out there, 86 degrees.
Oh, yes.
True. And I would to have a highway that gets me to, let's say, Medford in a half hour. Super. Just over. I'm done. They're in a half hour.
But either one of our responses comes consequences.
Yeah,
that's true.
We wouldn't be a town of 8,000.
This is
right.
We'd have traffic.
Yeah, there's many things we would lose.
Now, you are in the business of real estate. Now, what is your actual title and
profession? What are your titles and positions, Brett?
Well, we are both broker owners of two of the RE/MAX Coast and Country brokerages here in town. One we have in Brookings and one we have in Harbor as well.
It's okay.
So there's a Harbor and a Brookings one?
Yes, yes. And we would, I would say, I think we have a team of 15 right now.
Yeah, we saw that today.
And so we have
the picture. Fred Meyer, by the way, both of you. You're in my cart.
So we have half of them in Harbor, and we have the other half here in Brookings.
And that's RE/MAX?
RE/MAX Coast and Country, yes.
Now, how many, what's that called? How many real estate offices are here, or how many
total different? In Curry County?
Curry County.
I want to say 35.
Yeah,
yes, 35 all the way up to in Curry. Yes,
because you have the traditional brick and mortar brokerage, which most of us can associate with, but you know there's been a movement in our industry where a number of real estate agents work from their home.
Yeah.
And they don't have an office. So sometimes it's harder to encapsulate how many.
No, you know, I bought my house, the last two houses I bought online, never seen.
Oh, sight unseen.
Sight unseen, just trusted in the people.
You trust
my intuition that this is a great house.
Your inspections. Work
great. They never told her about your neighbor, though.
And sometimes that happens. We had a lot of those in the peak of the seller's market, sight unseen.
A lot of sight unseen.
What did anybody ever regret it?
No, because, you know, we have some technology now you can see the home from afar. Exactly. You've got a Matterport 3D walkthrough. You can see that someone from New York City looking for Brookings property. You can see all of that.
Exactly.
You let your agent. That you can now, you've got the technology, the phone, you can FaceTime.
You're right,
You can have them out there walking around, checking out the house on the outside, the inside. But at the end of the day, you're going to want to make sure your realtor is putting a specialist in place, such as an inspector on the home. Anything that has to do to really check out the structural.
Step back. What are your actual title? Brett, what is your actual title? When you say, people say, hey, what do you say? I'm the owner-operator of?
Correct.
Yeah.
Owner, principal broker. You know, in Oregon, a broker is a licensed real estate agent.
Okay.
And a principal broker is also a licensed real estate agent who has the ability to supervise. So those are our two categories.
Yeah.
The only other third category that might seep in is sometimes people refer to themselves as the designated principal broker, who is the person who's supposed to oversee the operations of the brokerage.
Okay. And how long have you two been practicing real estate, or how long have you been broker operators?
2005.
So you got licensed in 2005. I got licensed in 2012, but I had been doing real estate type stuff since 1999.
Yeah, he was an investor prior to this.
Right.
And then he was in also commercial banking.
Lending and mortgage lending.
So it is a schooling that you do, or is it a licensing that you do?
It is. We have
both.
Yeah.
Both. Exactly.
Go to school, get a license. I don't remember how many hours it is now. I think it's like 150. Don't quote me on that, but it's a long, arduous, at least 3 months of daily dedication.
Yeah.
Most people spread it out over a year.
And certainly you need to be a people person, right?
That certainly helps.
That helps.
Free here. That helps, a lot. Right? Yeah.
Unless you're doing corporate real estate or something.
Oh, yeah. The other part of your prologue here.
Impersonal thing.
Interpersonal skills, though, is at the top of the... Yeah.
Yeah. What's the absolute best part of your jobs? Both of you.
Oh, goodness. Well, I have to say, since we have a team of 15, I mean, we've seen a lot of these agents, some of them have worked 3 and 4 jobs prior to being into real estate. So whether they've been in a food service industry or something else, just watching them grow and seeing their successes at the end of the day, that's really cool. And of course, the obvious is seeing people have a successful sale and getting their home, whether it's the first time home buyer, that's really exciting.
Yeah.
or a move-up buyer too. So it's all, at the end of the day, it's seeing people succeed, either realizing their dreams or looking at our agents and just seeing where they started and where they end up.
You concur, Brett?
Yeah.
Brett?
Same things, yeah. Watching our teammates grow and prosper and become independent business owners and,
Yeah.
Very nice.
That's unique.
Can you give us an overview of the current real estate market condition for
Brookings? For Brookings Harbor, yeah.
What's our Brookings Harbor?
So real estate right now is very complicated.
Yeah.
And although we might be a microcosm, you know, Curry County or even just Brookings, we're affected by the regional and national and even the international market. Today we can't assume that we're just going to be all isolated in a little bubble.
Yeah.
It's all impacts us. And not that rings so true right now because of what the feds have done to kind of interject a slowdown in the market by raising the Fed's interest rate.
The interest rate.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
has an indirect effect on mortgage interest rates. And we saw them go from a low of like 2.25% to 8% over a 2.5 year period.
So it's down to 6 point something now.
Yeah, it's in the mid sixes, and most of us anticipate that they'll drop even more this year.
Yeah.
I don't know that we'll ever see the twos or threes again, but
I think I got my house in 2.9 or so. Ugh. That was in the end of 2020.
Yeah, so
beautiful.
If you combine that with, so you got high interest rates, higher than usual.
Yeah.
There's still a low inventory. So even though the number of homes on the market and available to buyers is rising, it's still below averages.
Average
meaning? Which is very surprising. I mean, if you would think that rising interest rates and would stop sales, which they did, which would mean that the number of homes in the market would slowly balloon up because fewer people are buying them. That didn't happen.
Huh.
And you had a fair amount of demand, I'll call it pent up demand.
Yeah.
Buyers wanting to buy a house, but choosing to be sidelined for a while as interest rates just made the house too expensive.
Yeah.
A lot of different things going on at the same time and adverse effects that aren't typical to a standard market.
But it's nationwide.
And it is nationwide, yeah.
Okay,
so something that I'm always paying attention to, whether you knew this or not, there's about a 5.5 million home shortfall in the United States.
Wow.
We have about 5.5 million homes.
People who can buy or people who want to buy?
Of homes that we need in this country to sustain houses, housing.
Buying or rental or either?
The whole.
Anything.
Oh, any housing.
The number of units available for people to occupy, we're about 5.5 million short of where we should be. Whoa. And it's difficult to shorten that gap in a short period of time.
Right.
Which means demand is still strong, whether it's the rental market, housing market.
Yeah.
We happen to be right next to this big blue pool, which makes demand even higher.
Yeah, the big pool is called the Pacific Ocean. Okay, so I've heard it 1,000 times. You've heard it 10,000 times. People say, oh my goodness, Brookings, we drove through here 20 years ago. We fell in love with it then. And then we'd come back occasionally. And finally, we just said, we're retired. We want to move to Brookings. We never regretted it. How we are in a special little microcosm of a beautiful place, right? Is not Brookings like that?
Yeah. No question. Yeah,
that's a draw. I've heard that countless.
I hear from my patients all the time. They're here and they want to. They retire. They establish, and then many are surprised that we don't have the specialists
around.
So, in comparison to the national, Brett, what you were just talking about, it was complicated. It's still going up, I assume. Values are still rising in the Brookings area.
So this is also complicated. It's just unique. So most of the time in any housing market, the average sales price and the median sales price are roughly the same. But over the last couple of years, they're dramatically different. Average sales price is around $470,000 in our county.
Median is about 400.
That,
right.
And what that tells us is that there is a bit of a slowdown in the median home,
okay,
the typical home.
Price. Typical home price.
And it's pretty stable over the last 3 years. Hasn't really risen or dropped.
Yeah.
But oceanfront,
yeah,
big ocean views, those prices
that
continue
to rise. Yes, because we have so very little of it available.
So right now, is it a buyer's or a seller's market right now? Oh, another
They're both looking at each other.
I'll say neither, but it does sort of depend. If you were shopping for a home right now, in the, around the 400,000 range, you have a lot of options. So that would constitute a buyer's market.
Uh-huh.
If you're shopping for oceanfront, there's just a couple on the market.
I want an oceanfront $400,000 house. Now, how about that?
That's
very small market.
That's super small market. And we've gotten some of those. They've asked us, we want waterfront property with a big rock in the front. And I've gotten people that actually describe their dream,
exactly,
which is awesome.
The same one. Yeah.
And I'd like to buy it for $300,000.
That's the part that doesn't count anymore.
If you're on the ocean, we've turned the page a couple of years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Where if you're on the ocean, you can have two commas in your asking price without question.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
And it wasn't all that long ago that those same homes were $500,000, $600,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's been a big jump.
That would have been 5 years, even.
Even
longer than that.
So besides the oceanfront, what makes the area so unique or desirable for investors?
Yeah, is it a good place to invest? Brookings, will it always be a good investment?
I would think it would be.
Besides the oceanfront, I mean, there's more to it, right?
Well, if you can get a slice of coastal property, that's a great investment. And I think if you are able to do that, as we said, we have very little to get. Are we getting cutting off?
Yeah. No, I think our engineers were at that medium halfway point. We'll help break it here just for a moment. You're tuned into KCIW LP 100.7 FM in Brookings, Oregon. Wow. It's already past that halfway mark. Sorry about that, my engineers, Ray and Tom in the engineers booth. You've been tuned into Doc and Jacques. Here in Brookings, beautiful Brookings, Oregon. We are proudly a non-commercial. We are a community non-commercial radio station. Regardless if you sing, you have a voice, and that is what community radio like KCIW does best. We're made up of good local folks like you that care about our lovely coastal village passionately. So if you have a penchant, or want to get involved in community service, volunteering, think about joining the KCIW family. By all means, get involved, serve, contribute, donate your time and money to an exemplary local nonprofit radio station. Find out more by going to kciw.org today. Okay, we were caught up in that conversation so much that we shot
right
past our little halfway marker. Where are you, Doc?
I want to know now, how is Harbor different than Brookings or from Brookings?
Well, Harbor's unincorporated.
Yep, you're actually in the county. Yes. When you're on the south side of the bridge, that's county.
Whoa. What does it mean for the prices, or what does it mean for city water or municipal?
Well, so it's a little less on the other side. I don't think there's a big difference unless you're really counting your pennies
as far as
on that.
Pricing, no, because on the harbor side, you generally can get a larger lot.
Yeah.
There'll be less planning on that side, on the harbor side.
Yeah.
So you may get a hodgepodge of housing.
Yeah.
Your property taxes are likely a little lower because you don't have some of the school district, other assessments that are in the city limits, but it's not that significant.
But you have city water, you have city sewage.
There is harbor water and harbor sewer, but it doesn't extend throughout harbor. There's limits to how far they'll provide, particularly sewer. And then if you're past that area, then you have a septic system.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So if you're driving south from, let's say you're coming down the hill, you're ready to cross the bridge south, heading south, and you look up on the left up there as you cross, that's Harbor. Those are the mountains, those big homes you see up on, that's Harbor.
Yeah, that's considered Crown Terrace, and that is Harbor.
Mm-hmm. That is Harbor. Okay, so what's the highest amount of money that any home has? Do you know any home
brought
in this area?
Sold.
Yeah, what's the highest property
sale?
It's the one you're
the
gonna
one
sell.
I'm going to sell this year, which is going to be Elk Point up in there in Gold Beach.
by Gold Beach.
Oh, it's Gold Beach that's going to be selling the highest in the.
Well, that's I'm throwing it out there to the universe, and I'm going to manifest.
Well,
that.
Yeah. So
and what are we looking?
Talk about the Elk Point property.
Elk Point property is my listing. It's about a 10,000 square foot home. It is the highest priced in our county.
Yeah.
But for very good reasons. I mean, this build is phenomenal. It's a log home that is reminiscent of something you'd find at Breckenridge or Aspen, but it's right on the ocean.
Nice.
Like 28 acres plus of ocean front. It is phenomenal.
Helicopter pad.
I mean,
helicopter pad.
Okay. No, it's not. It's not a personal home. Is that going to be a? Is it?
It is someone's personal home.
1,000 square foot.
And what are the sellers asking?
The sellers are asking $10,888.
So close to $11 million.
Correct.
For the property.
Correct.
On 20 acres of beach.
28 acres.
Yes.
There's nothing like it.
There's nothing like it. I mean, they've literally taken the logs and they've imported it from Canada.
Whoa.
The foundation alone for that home, it took 3 years to create that foundation.
So it's some of these logs, Jacques, are 6 feet wide that are
it's
framing this
amazing.
House.
Dang.
So that's, I mean, if we're looking at the highest priced home in the area, that would
wow. So that's
but
a
there's
by,
been a
by,
lot of
by far that's one
build.
Of the most
yeah.
expensive
that goes along
ones.
With that.
Now, some of those Harbor houses up on Crown Terrace, are some of those in the 2 million, 1, 2 million, 3 million? I don't know. No,
not yet.
No,
there's a
we have ocean fronts that are 2 million,
but if
in
you're
the
looking
area.
Up at Crown Terrace, you know, you're probably in the
1.5 to 1.5 million,
yeah, depending on the size and just how. Gorgeous the view is.
Right.
Some of those homes on Crown Terrace actually look the other way and are
really?
Equally appealing to some people looking out towards the mountains. Like
sure.
Some of them can see Mount Emily.
Yeah.
Right. Interesting.
That's right.
And that's another unique aspect to where we live is that it's not just the ocean. It's also the mountains,
the
rivers, the redwoods, which is unique.
So the new people that are coming in that are looking to buy, or I shouldn't say, anybody who's looking to buy, are they usually from out of Curry County?
I would say 8 out of 10 is out of the area. And I would say even 6 out of that 8 is Californians.
Yeah, maybe.
You know,
we have
a lot of California buyers and, you know, they'll come from that area.
Yeah.
Let's just say an ocean front. We're looking at an ocean front here is about 1.5, right?
Yeah.
An ocean front over there is probably about 5 to 10 million.
So they
sitting on a postage stamp lot. So they come over here and they look at our property and it's like a fraction of a cost.
Oh, wow.
So we do get quite a bit of Californians come to this area.
And what's the age group usually?
Gosh.
Anybody?
So it's changed some in the last few years, but you know, predominantly, but this is a retirement community.
It still is.
It has been. It still is.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, COVID got a lot of younger people, working people, to think about where they lived as opposed to where they worked.
Yeah.
And many of them work from home.
Interesting.
You know, it's
so we
did
the see,
digital era, the that's computer cool. techies.
Yeah.
I mean, they're young. They're coming up here, and we just got a couple of years ago a few of them.
Well,
in their 30s.
That gentleman we worked with in his 30s about oceanfront up
amazing.
In Port Orford. And
nice.
That same
oh,
idea.
Orford.
I can work anywhere.
So they go in tiny towns. So, I mean, they go, I always feel this is us, we're the metropolis and anybody. But they're even bigger than us. It just seems like they're more countryside. But Gold Beach, how big is Gold Beach?
Or Orford? 3,500, 4,000 in population.
Yeah.
Port Orford's like 1,700.
Yeah.
All right. I have a bone to pick with some. I've had listeners ask you about this. what's going on with these HOA payments, particularly in Harbor, where they have you buy the home, a mobile home, nice ones, great parks.
Right.
You pay $500 to $800 or $1,000 a month HOA fee.
So it's in park living.
What?
So technically, we got to call it what it is.
It's not a space lease. It's not HOA.
So okay, HOA would be a homeowners association.
Yeah.
Where it's each
okay, each, you didn't know that.
Each person is a has equity in the entire establishment, but in a park, you don't own the land. You own the home.
Yeah.
And the park owner sets the price.
The landowner, yes.
Yeah, the landowner. So
correct.
You get into that. The landowner can indiscriminately raise it, or it seems like I've seen some pretty nice parks here, and I have friends that live in something.
Mm-hmm.
But when I hear what they're paying that once monthly deal, mm-hmm.
Some of those things, you can kind of break that down. It depends on how you want to break that down, but you know, those lot space leases sometimes will, most of the time, will incorporate the water, sewer, and trash, landscaping, a clubhouse on some of them.
Yeah, true.
And so if you break that down in fees of any place else, does it amount to?
Might seem more comparable.
$500 once you're, if you're splitting those fees up and having to pay it individually, it's just combined.
Versus what? Typical home ownership, you own everything, including the land underneath your home. I would think that somebody thought of that.
Correct.
Right.
The HOA, I guess that's the homeowner. So that's like the gated communities where you'll
find that, HOAs or CCNRs.
HOAs.
But the key difference is if it's an HOA, you as a property owner are part of that decision and have a vote in what the fees are.
And where are they going to
live in? On an HOA, yes.
Mm-hmm.
If you live in a park, that fee is set by the park owner.
Yeah.
So we always encourage buyers, interview the park owner.
Yeah, make sure you're compatible with that person.
And that you know what's happened with park fees in the past. That can be indicative of what may happen in the future.
What other tips can you offer to anybody who is interested in buying in Curry County?
What tips can you offer?
Yeah,
who's interested in buying?
Some of them are looking to sell their property right now.
It depends. What? Contact a professional.
There we go. Perfect.
Good.
A real estate professional. And really, you know, if you're coming from out of the area and you really don't know a lot about the area, I would suggest maybe renting for a little bit. Get to know the area. Make sure this is where you really want to be. Come during the times where it's bad weather, not just good weather.
Good idea.
So you understand if you can really survive the rains that we have. But clearly interview a few agents who you feel like you vibe with. And I think that's a great start. And before you even start looking at homes, I would say go to your lender and see what you qualify for. That way you're not running around spinning your wheels trying to figure out whether at the end of the day you find a home that you're in love with and you find out, oh my gosh, I can't afford this.
Are people that come in and pay cash to say, hey, here I got $400,000 in a briefcase. Does that ever happen?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We have that a lot. Absolutely.
Oh, a lot?
Yeah.
Yes, we do. We have quite a database.
You mentioned rent.
Cash buyers.
You said rent. What's the rental market now in Brookings? Is there a high demand for rental properties in this area?
Yes, there is.
There is a high demand.
It all stems around that $5.5 million units shortfall.
Yeah.
That's affecting everywhere. And we're not any different. So whether it's Brookings or Gold Beach, there's a shortage for good rental market as well as housing. So
now if you have a mother-in-law apartment or something in your house, how hard is it to get on the market to rent that out to a renter?
So that's probably the biggest move that the state of Oregon has tried to incentivize.
Yeah.
They call them ADUs or accessory dwelling units.
Yeah.
The states and counties and cities have opened up different zoning to make those permissible.
Uh-huh.
Frankly, you'd probably get a line out your door if you posted my ADU is for rent.
So is that a penalty on your taxes that you have to then to Oregon? I mean, what is the penalty on for you doing it? Or is there none? You can just do it and yay, everybody's going to do it now and help the 5 million people.
I'd probably rephrase it from not a penalty, but there is a permitting process to make sure your house is built to code.
Okay.
And, you know, through that, your property taxes may be adjusted slightly because now you have a more valuable property.
Right. Income property.
But that would be more than offset, I would assume strongly, with what you would earn in rental income. But yeah, that unit does have to be permitted.
Yeah.
Whether you're in the county or the city.
You have to have parking space and all this other stuff, right?
Yeah, there are minimum requirements.
Yeah.
Sure. For safety and...
Yeah, yeah.
I see people, when I take walks around town, I'll see a house with a detached garage with somebody living above the garage. I see that a lot. I mean, I see people living up there. And
Yeah, that's common.
And that's
not a bad idea. You have a detached garage.
Is that an ADU? So I wouldn't have to go to the planning commission. I wouldn't have to go if I just have a space above my garage that's got its own bath, let's say, and a kitchenette. I could rent that out.
So how do you get it permitted, though? Where do you get the permission to permit?
So we may be talking about two different things. If it already exists, you don't need a permit.
Oh,
if it. Unless you're doing a vacation rental, because now in many areas of our county, you do need a license
Airbnb
or a permit.
Thing, an Airbnb
Correct.
Thing, okay.
Uh-huh. Now, if you want to actually build something from scratch,
yes,
then a building permit, and you would go to either the city, if you're in the city limits, or the county, if you're in Gold Beach, the city of Gold Beach, same with Port Orford. So it just depends on where you're located. But some government entity is issuing the permits and making sure what you build is to code.
Yeah. Okay.
Off script question real quick. Is the taxes you pay on a house, let's say in California, if I bought a $500,000 house in Crescent City and I came up into Oregon and in Brookings I spent $500,000 on a house here, is there a huge difference in what I'll be paying property taxes on those two? Do you know?
So, yes. California and Oregon do property taxes completely different. And we literally could spend the rest of the show talking about Oregon property taxes.
But that's part two.
Let me leave it at
part
this.
Part two.
That's part two.
In Oregon, the taxes are not indicative of the sales price.
Correct. Like it is in California.
They're not indicative. They're not basing it at 500. Well, now you got to pay 10% of 500,000.
Right. There was a measure called Measure 50 that was passed. I think now it's been 32, 33 years ago that essentially capped property tax values and allowed counties to increase them no more than 3% a year. And so on any tax record, you have a M50 value, Measure 50 value. That's what you're taxed on. And it's irrelevant what the real market value is, which is another measure that they take, and that could be completely different from what a home sells for. So if that Measure 50 value is less than what your home sold for, you're going to feel like your taxes are less.
So the Gold Beach property of $11 million approximately coming up in California, you would pay percentage, let's say 10%, I don't know what it is. But
2.5%, I think it is.
Okay, of that every year. You're saying in Oregon, it's not like that.
So in Oregon, it depends on the M50. You know, what is the M50 then? I mean, who decides what that M50 value is?
So that's where it gets complicated. but just for the vast majority of homes, the exception may be something that was built this year.
Yeah.
But for the vast majority of homes, the value that you're taxed on is likely much less than what it's actually worth.
Oh, okay. I like that.
I am amazed with that, and I think that's why there is a lot of people coming into Southern Oregon. It's not too far away from Northern California.
We meet people that just want to get three steps into Oregon. That's it.
Right. Yeah, get away. That's one of the reasons. That's right. In Crescent City, we're kind of flying away from that because of heavy taxes. We're getting close to that point, folks, where we are going to break off here and go into another segment of our show, a variety show, but we have about 5 minutes left. I know that the two of you, it took you about an hour and a half commute to come over here from your office to the KCIW, which is literally, what, 50 yards maybe between your...
It's a great day out, sunny.
Right.
We enjoyed the walk.
We're located just beneath the Black Trumpet Restaurant and just up the street from the theater and right next to Misty Mountain Brewery. Where are you two located? Where's Remax?
So our Brookings office is 703 Checo Avenue.
Which is right next door to Oxenfree and us right here.
We're just a few steps away from you guys. And then our harbor office is 16218 West Hoffelt. It's actually located right next to the fishing Checo. Is it? What's it called that?
Wait, that antique store. The antique store.
Outdoor store right there at the intersection of Hoffelt and 101.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Next to David Allen State Farm.
That's right.
The Rice Bowl.
Foxy's and Rice Bowl.
Yeah. Okay, Foxy's
relocated. So there you
go. Foxy's is no longer.
It's not going to be up there. It's going to be down over there at the beachfront end.
What?
Yeah.
Vegas.
Oh, no kidding.
Somebody told me about this. That's
dining
right
now.
Well, I'll be darned.
Moving up.
You know, at your mixer, we won the. Gigi's card got picked, so she got the $50 certificate from the Rice Bowl. And then she gave it to me, and I probably lost it. I can't find it anywhere.
Really?
I checked all my jacket pockets.
I'm sure John and Chow will make accommodations.
Yeah, maybe, you know, I didn't think of
that. I'll let them know.
Okay, yeah, you're our influential person. How about phone numbers? What's the best way to contact you? I know whenever I text you, you're right on it. You're back to me right now.
Real estate world. My direct number is 541-661-3056. Our office is 541-40 Remax. That's the one in the Brookings. And the one in Harbor is 541-412-3000.
Okay, cool.
And so you have office staff in each of the...
We have excellent
because
office
managers.
Because
we went to your office just a couple of... And you were right there. You were right there. So. Okay. Who is going to be at Harbor?
Okay, we got that. I just wanted to make that get those numbers and addresses and accessibility to you
and
both.
Facebook or anything else?
Yes, you can find Remax Coasting Country Brookings Harbor on Facebook. Okay. And of course, our email is remaxcoastingcountry@gmail.com.
All right, Gigi, ask that question. That's
all right. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
You're both young. You seem both to be young and young-hearted.
We actually just talked about this morning.
Oh, yeah?
To some extent, you know, we find our purpose and our value in serving people.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I don't expect that's going to change.
Absolutely. Yeah.
10 years from now, we'll be 10 years older. All of us will be still here having a good time, hopefully.
We'll be retiring.
How many people have we met that we've interviewed and they've said, oh, I won't be here?
Oh, no.
Nobody.
Nobody, no. They're all
moving on.
They're not. They're saying they don't intend to leave.
Oh, they don't intend to leave.
Yeah, they don't intend to leave.
Most people, if they choose to leave here, it's because there's something that is forcing them to go. I don't know many people that leave here on their own free will.
You know, the only people that I know that would want to leave is for a medical. Yeah.
Well, they got to have dialysis or something.
Closer to family, but mostly because of medical reasons.
Otherwise, they think family can come up here.
Right. We also have not interviewed any 16, 17, or 18-year-olds.
Yeah.
Who might want to go, got to get out of this town. I want to go to a place where there's some action.
Now, do you have any special events, offerings, meetings, classes?
Seminars.
Anything?
Well, you know, we're always involved in the Azalea Festival Parade. You'll see Remax very involved. We've been in it for about 3 years. Well, maybe this is going on four years.
Well, you're a sponsor.
Maybe longer than that.
So when we win the Azalea Parade.
Oh, he wants to talk about our winnings.
Oh.
We actually win.
You
have 3 years in a row.
Whoa. I think it's longer than that. I think it's 4 years.
We will come up this year from Crest City. And when does that happen, usually?
That's Memorial Weekend.
Okay,
yeah. The Memorial Weekend is the same as the Azalea Festival.
The first day.
What is that this year? What is it?
Had you guys been to the Azalea Festival?
Oh, hello.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
So it's the last weekend in May, right?
Yeah.
Right.
We'll be here.
So that's always fun. We're always involved in that. We have a really great fundraiser, which is Caitlin's Cause. It's a golf tournament. It's a Remax Coasting Country golf tournament. Is going on for how many years now, Brett?
Where's that held?
Third.
So
Salmon.
Fourth Salmon. Year. What? It's at Salmon Run. It's the biggest event of the summer. 3 days. lots of golfers from around the region come and participate. We raise money for Caitlin's Cause, which is a local foundation that Chris and Molly Wallace run. Their daughter died of cancer. She was a local high school student here in Brookings, and he was the police chief for a long time. Mm. Molly was a school teacher, and wow. So their daughter really asked him to start. I don't know if she knew how eloquently she said this, but essentially she wanted them to keep giving gifts to other kids who were struggling with cancer.
Wow.
And from that bore the Caitlin's Cause Foundation.
Good.
So we support
We've
that.
We've heard that, yeah. So you're real supportive. I've seen you are supporting, and you're a sponsor of many, many, many things. So good for you and the great impact that you're making on our
yes.
local lovely community. I had one question from Ray in our engineering booth. He says, if I sell a house in Oregon and I absolutely know that Bigfoot lives in the backyard, do I have to disclose that? Because, or ghosts, how about ghosts? Do you have to disclose if a ghost?
There'll probably be sufficient evidence in the backyard.
Yes.
That he wouldn't need to say nothing.
He doesn't have a photograph of it, no footprints, but he says it's there. For
you
sure.
Do you have to disclose somebody saying they have a ghost?
A ghost.
A ghost?
Yeah.
How can you prove that?
No, I know. Somebody says it's having to be disclosed.
Amityville.
No.
Okay.
No. Simple as that, Lizer, no.
So, we are a disclosure state.
We are.
Oh, yeah.
You know, every state has different rules and regulations. For example, California, if there is a heinous crime, a suicide or a death in California, you do have to disclose.
Yeah.
In Oregon, you do not.
Oh.
Because what they say, it doesn't adversely affect the
right.
property. So you do not have to do that okay. in the state of Oregon. It's different for all states.
Yeah. Because
you have to disclose things like your roof has leaked or
stuff that you can actually demonstrate.
Definitely a doctor.
Yes.
Listen. Hey, thank both to you, Brett and Marie.
Thank you for having
us. Have you on again?
Let's do this at least every four or five months.
We'd be happy to.
Just get an update because there were so many questions that we asked you that were spawned off on other ones.
Very, very convoluted.
Yeah.
I know there's so much more we could talk about.
Yeah. And let us know if there's seminars, classes, anything that people are involved in your activity as being sponsors and involved in so many community events. Let us know. We'll put it on there on KCIW that you're sponsoring this and
thank
that.
You.
We'd be more than happy.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much. All right, doctor.
Okay.
What do we got?
We have so much fun in the fun time corner.
Oh, my God.
I hope you have good jokes.
Oh, I really.
I have quotes.
Janice is going to kill me.
Okay, first quote. Quote number one. Let your home be your mast and not your anchor.
Let your home be your mast. Is it a mast on a ship? Not your anchor. Got it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
What's another one?
The magic thing about home is that it feels good to leave and it feels even better to come back.
I like it.
That's
okay.
That's a good one.
I don't know if I gave this last week, but if I did, my daughter Fallon.
Yeah.
She asked me. I did.
Babies?
Yeah. I said, oh, well, thanks for reckoning. Well, they haven't heard it. My daughter Fallon asked me if she should have a baby after 40. And I said, honey, no, 40 babies is enough. Okay.
Dun, 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 dun.
That was a repeat. Darn it. The finest clothing made is a person's own skin. That goes to your skin thing. That's by Mark Twain.
The
finest clothing made is a person's own skin.
Joke. That's a quote.
That's a quote because I'm kind of lagging on the quotes. On the joke.
Okay, I have another quote. A man travels the world over in search of what he needs and returns home to find it.
A person, we're non-binary here.
In search of what the person needs and returns home to find it.
Oh. Wow. I have, you know you're not liked when you get handed the camera every time they take a group photo.
That's a good one.
Okay, we're there.
All right.
You got to rock.
Oh, yeah. That's Chuxy Ding. We've already reached the magical ending time for this week's live radio variety show.
Ooh. Great
you
case.
Have been listening to Doc and Jacques on KCRWLP 100.7 FM in beautiful, sunny today, Brookings, Oregon.
Yeah, who?
We hope that you have enjoyed the show. Jacques Wolf and I certainly have enjoyed learning so much about real estate today. Right, Jackie Poop?
Yeah, that's right, Dr. Gigi. A special thanks to our guests again, Brett and Marie Curtis, who are the owner brokers at Rebac.
thank you guys again for having me. That was great.
Thanks for the wizardry, gentlemen, in the engineering booth here at KCIW. Please reach out to us on FaceTime anytime and have a beautiful day.
Bye.